Several years ago, I think maybe it was a couple years ago, I received in the mail a Christmas card that made a deep impression. It was sent by the seminary I attended to all the graduates. And in fact, it was so striking to me that I have it framed and hanging upstairs. But it's not your typical Christmas card. It depicts a night scene. There's a dark, star-studded sky, dark blue in color. There's a large moon. There's a donkey. And seated on the donkey is the Virgin Mary, and she is holding the baby Jesus. And it must be cold because they're bundled up in lots of layers. And Mary is clutching her son, holding him tightly while he sleeps. Joseph walks beside them holding a staff, but he's distracted. He's looking over his shoulder. Looks like he's keeping a vigilant watch, maybe expecting danger. In the left frame of the image, there is a rocky ledge with a small, barren tree. All told, this looks like a very dark and cold and bleak landscape. So as I say, it's not what you might expect for your typical Christmas card. It doesn't evoke for me warm sentiment. It doesn't show the manger with animals all looking peaceful and docile. Instead, it tells the story of the Holy Family fleeing to Egypt, away from political powers that are threatened by the birth of Jesus, powers that seek to kill the child. There's a text on this Christmas card, and it reads, and I quote, "In the name of these refugees, aid all refugees through interest, friendship, gifts," unquote. That message is a call to assist and to welcome those forced to flee their homelands because of war and poverty and violence. It's a reminder of our call to welcome the stranger in our midst. And it seems a timely reminder. In the past several years, people have been displaced in this world in great numbers, in numbers not seen since after World War II, and displaced because of war and poverty, because of violence, lack of economic opportunity. Most recently, in the past year, we have seen people flee Afghanistan after the U.S. military left the country. Episcopal Migration Ministries is an agency of the Episcopal Church that offers assistance to immigrants and refugees, and it cites some sobering facts on its website, and I quote, "The deteriorating situation in Afghanistan is a humanitarian crisis that has left upwards of 550,000 Afghans internally displaced in the country since the beginning of the year, in addition to 2.9 million Afghans already internally displaced at the end of 2020. Episcopal Migration Ministries, the Refugee Resettlement and Migration Ministry of the Episcopal Church, is currently working in partnership with the U.S. government to assist our Afghan allies with resettlement and direct services through a network of 11 affiliates across the U.S., unquote. And you may have heard how some Afghan refugees have been resettled already here in Rhode Island. So with wars in places like Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria, so many people have been displaced. Refugees have flocked to European countries seeking safety and shelter from danger. Migrant families flee Latin America where they know poverty and physical danger and travel north hoping for a new life in the United States. And of course, we as a nation are not of one mind on whether such refugees should be welcomed here. And there are those who want to close our borders to them. So with this whole dire reality, it's not maybe surprising that a seminary would send this kind of card, the one I received a few years back. But what I find most surprising is that card is actually not new. It's a reprint. It's a reprint of an image that was printed back in 1938 by the Diocese of Southern Ohio. And it was originally a poster that was to raise support for refugees fleeing strife-torn Europe. And it marked the beginning of the Episcopal Church's national refugee ministry. So sadly, I can't tell you that this issue of people having to flee their homelands is a new one, for it's not. Forever, innocent people have been caught in wars that politicians wage. People have fled violence, poverty, for far too long. Including in our own gospel today, where we hear that story that Christmas card represents. Taken from Matthew's Christmas account, it is the story of Mary and Joseph and the baby who themselves are caught in the political realities of their time and become refugees to prevent Jesus being killed. And so today's gospel reminds us that Jesus was born into a world not different from ours, sadly. Matthew clearly explains the politics that lead to the flight of the Holy Family into Egypt. King Herod, like so many rulers, is insecure in his throne, and his power requires this delicate balancing act between the Roman rulers, Jewish temple officials, and the people. And Herod would do virtually anything to maintain his power. He even killed one of his wives and a son. So when the wise men come to Herod seeking the newborn king, Herod pretends that he wants to know more, that he can go and worship the child too. And he asks these strangers from the east, the stargazers who see the signs and the stars, when they find that child, to come and tell him where. But Herod is lying. He does not want to worship the child. He sees him as a threat and wants to kill the baby. So the wise men go and they find and they visit the baby Jesus in the manger at Bethlehem. But they are warned in a dream not to trust Herod, and so they return to their own country without telling Herod where the child is. And so once the king realizes that the wise men have deceived him, he becomes enraged and has every boy under the age of 2 living in Bethlehem killed. What we call the Massacre of the Holy Innocents, a feast of martyrdom that we commemorate on December 28th. But before Herod can kill Jesus, Joseph is warned in a dream and takes the child and his mother and they flee to Egypt, avoiding Herod's wrath and becoming refugees. There's a way in which Matthew's account shows really extremes of human behavior. There are the wise men who recognize the divinity of Jesus and set out, and they don't know where they're going, but they set out on this journey to seek him. They want to worship him, to bring him gifts. And then there's Herod, who is insecure and fearful, willing to kill innocent children to maintain his power. In the midst of that, Matthew asserts that though things may not go well, though evil and brutality exist and seem to reign in our world, yet God is at work. And those who hear and listen to God's call can see how God is acting. And that is, in a way, the promise of Christmas. The promise of Christmas is that God incarnate comes into human existence in the midst of all of its brutality and enters in to redeem. Sin and evil, violence and oppression will not have the last word. Nothing will defeat the promise of God with us, Emmanuel. And we hear that in our lesson today from the prophet Jeremiah. This is from a section of Jeremiah known as the Book of Consolation. And Jeremiah is speaking to a people who have experienced military defeat, have been brought into exile by the Assyrians. They're displaced from their homeland. They too are political refugees. And in the midst of that tragedy, Jeremiah dares to proclaim that one day the people will experience restoration. They'll be returned to their homeland. Jeremiah proclaims the promise that God will gather the remnant of Israel from the farthest corners of the earth. And they will walk by brooks of water. Their path will be easy. They will not stumble. And God will be like a shepherd who gathers and guides the flock. Their mourning will be turned to joy. Gladness replace their sorrow. And so while there may be a temptation to reduce Christmas to nice feelings and holiday cheer, Today reminds us Christmas is so much more. Christmas gives us the strength to be honest about the brutality of our world. And Christmas comes to the world just as it is now, with all of its injustice, its brutality, and enters in with the promise that God is at work in the world now, that God will redeem, will set all things right. And so that we can dare to live by hope, to trust that God is acting even in the most hopeless and desperate of situations. God does not let Herod kill Jesus as a baby, but keeps him safe. And as an adult, Jesus confronts those same powers of the world, proclaiming God's love and justice. And for doing this, he experiences a terrible suffering and death, torture, is killed on the cross. But when that happens, God does not abandon him either, but raises him on the third day. And through baptism, we are promised that we will share in his resurrection life. And so, may we, like Joseph, listen to our dreams, to our hopes, to our deep longings, be attentive to God's call, however it comes to us, that we can follow where God would lead us, even when it requires doing unexpected things, changing our plans, going off into an unknown with a destination unclear. And wherever we're called to go, whatever we are called by God to do, may we trust God will care for us and protect us, even in the face of suffering and challenge, that God will not abandon us, that we are indeed Christ's own forever, and that God's love will sustain us and in the end will prevail. And like those wise men, may we search for the presence of God, for the divine presence of God in all people, seeing everyone as beloved of God, and never forget to welcome those who are immigrants and refugees, who are strangers in our midst, offering them friendship, sharing from our financial resources for their well-being, and always opposing policies of exclusion and hatred, that we may welcome the powerless and the forgotten. And this Christmastide, let us give thanks to God for coming among us in order to raise us to the divine life. And may we embrace the abundant life that God comes to share with us, trusting always that God is acting even now, even in this world full of violence and sin and brutality. Even in that reality, God enters in to transform this world by the light of God's love. Amen.